Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and I'm here with a co-host, but not Mikey and not Christopher John. I'm here with Madison Bennett. Maddie, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Drew. Thank you for having me back. How are you doing?
It's great to have you. I'm doing great. And actually, next week, I will be sitting in the chair you're sitting in right there in Pikesville, Maryland.
Very excited to have you up here starting next week.
You guys aren't. I know you're not, you know. The only thing you're excited about is sometimes I make you drink wine during lunch, you know. So that's the only good thing you know about me coming up there in person. So.
No, we enjoy your presence as well.
So anyway, we're here tonight, Maddie, on an open show. That means our listeners are our guests. They get to decide the direction of the conversation. We do have a guest coming up in a couple weeks, Larry Kotlikoff, and that's going to be an interesting show. That'll be February 23rd, but tonight, February 9th, we're having an open show. That means our listeners are our guests. They get to determine the conversation. They get to determine the topic that they think is most important to them. They can say, Drew, this is a question that I have that's very important to me, and if you can help me answer this question, it would be extremely beneficial. So if you want to call in and ask that important question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. 922-6680 is the way to call in and be the guest on the show tonight and direct the conversation. As I always say, there's got to be at least a handful of other people out there that wanted to ask the same question you ask, but they just aren't the type of people to call into a radio show and ask. So you're probably doing them a favor by asking the question that you have. It's probably going to be helpful to a handful of other people to know the answer to that question. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. But we do have other topics that I can ramble on about that I think would be beneficial to our listeners. We don't have anyone online, right?
No, not yet. Okay, call in, everyone, please.
Yes, call in. And Maddie says, please, please, no. So I don't have to talk to him the whole time by myself.
No, it just spices it up when people call in.
That's true. So anyway, but one of the topics I talked about with Sean this morning, Maddie, was that we do, what, about 70 to 100 financial physicals every year?
Yeah, at least.
You're one of the relationship managers now to a lot of those cases. We have one coming up just real soon, right? Is it tomorrow?
We had one today, okay. And then we've got another one on Monday coming up.
Okay, so, now that you mention it, the one today is a perfect example of this, okay? So we review their auto and home insurance, and we find that these people are worth a few million dollars, right? Mm-hmm. And they had auto insurance that was ridiculous, $100, $300, $25, or $50 on liability per person per accident and property damage, and on the other policy, I think it was $50, $100, $50. So let me explain what those amounts mean, Maddie. Okay.
Okay.
So when you look at your auto insurance and it says bodily injury and it says per person, per accident, property damage. So it's mm-hmm. three different limits. That's called split limits. Now, occasionally you'll be looking at your policy and you'll only see one single number there. That's called a single limit, okay? Just as simple as I can make it. But let's deal, because most people in Maryland especially, they have split limit, all right? Mm-hmm. So it'll say something like 100 per person, 300 per accident, 100 property damage. What that means is if more than one person is injured in an accident, No one person in that accident will get more than $100,000. So a family of four driving around, husband and wife, two children in the back, boom, you hit their car and they're all seriously injured. No one person in that car is going to get more than $100,000. Then they're going to give out no more than $300,000 to the whole entire family. And if all four of them are seriously injured with claims well over $100,000 each, they're going to have to figure out how to split up $300,000 amongst four people. And then the $100,000 for property damage, well, if they're driving a Tesla, you know, a Model X, and it's worth $110,000, you've got $100,000 to give them to replace that Model X Tesla vehicle, okay? So this is what the three limits mean, all right? Now think about this, Maddie. If a child is seriously injured in an accident, and the way they determine the value of the claim, it's the medical cost for that child, it's the pain and suffering, it's the loss of, the joy of your potential of life because you've now been injured and it's permanent injury, loss of wages possibly that you could have earned because you've had some mental impact due to the accident, et cetera, and you've got a 10-year-old child that's seriously injured, how far do you think $100,000 is going to go?
Not very far at all.
Not very far at all is a very good answer. You know who they go after if you don't have enough auto and liability insurance on your auto policy? They go after you and your personal assets, okay? It's easy enough for maybe, maybe $200 more per year, and they could have something like $1.5 million of insurance per person. And I tell you, most plaintiff's attorneys would walk away and say to the family, $1.5 million is a very good settlement in this situation. Even though you may think it's more, it's a very good settlement. We should just walk away from this. $100,000? I doubt it, seriously. Anyway, Maddie, that's just one of many areas of insurance that we deal with that has to be changed because insurance agents are not incentivized to do risk management. They're incentivized to sell insurance policies, and that's why we typically will be fixing them. Anyway, Maddie, we're on an open show tonight. If you want to get on board and ask your question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And so we got to go to traffic, right? We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing like a good Temptation song, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Chris, is so musically,
his musical taste
is unbelievable, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's got a wide range of songs and so forth. Anyway, we're on an open show, Maddie. And if you want to get online and call and ask your question, direct the conversation, 410-922-6680. I'm sure that I see we got one caller online, but there are still probably two or three lines open, right?
Yes.
So, you know, hopefully you'll call in and we'll have a good time tonight and be able to answer your questions. 410-922-6680. But in the interim, Maddie, we might as well go and talk to Rich and give him as much time as he needs, okay?
All right. Hi, Rich. Welcome.
Good evening. First, I want to wish Mr. Tignanelli and Ms. Bennett a happy new year plus 40 days and best of health, good times, and so forth.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
My questions, I have one question and the second thing is a suggestion. My question is, what can or should be done with an illiquid investment? To take the funds out, anything I invest it, it's down a bit, but then things.
What do you mean by an illiquid investment? I mean, I could put about 35 million different tags on that. What do you mean by an illiquid?
Let's say I put $1,000 into something, and a year later it's $600, but you're unable to remove it unless you take it out 5% of some reduced amount, and they stop dividends going into the product. So to take it out would be a big loss. Or should I wait till the cows come home? Maybe it'll come back up.
So do you mean like you could sell it, but you're not willing to sell it necessarily because it's down and so forth? Or are you saying that literally you just can't sell it?
I'd say that's true, because if it was, let's say, $11 or $10 a share, they come back with offers every 6 months or so. Oh, we'll give you $5.50 for this in some outfit out of California. And I just...
So is this a limited partnership of some sort that you might have purchased that maybe it's hotels or something of that sort? Is that what it is?
REIT is a strategic
storage. So it's a private REIT. Is that correct?
I'd say so.
And you can put an option in every month to sell it. Is that what you're saying?
No, I can't do that every month, every quarter, every year.
Every quarter, okay. Months. Yeah, so what you're dealing with is a very illiquid asset. So that's called a private REIT or something of that sort. And we actually own a private REIT. It's one of the biggest in the country. I think it is the biggest in the country by far. And, you know, they should be a relatively good investment, but I've seen too many of these deals that you see put together that are really just incredibly poorly designed and so forth. And, you know, the answer to your question on that one is extremely difficult, because I've seen these things and I struggle on what to do with them, because like you say, normally the only way you can sell them is if you basically allowed somebody to rip you off, basically. So in other words, if it is worth $8 a unit, let's just use that number, they're going to offer you $6 or $5 even, you know? And,
exactly.
And so what do you do? You know, do you liquidate it to somebody who's ripping you off literally? Or do you hold it and hope that something happens in the future that it comes back? And normally I default to holding it to the future, but I really have to see what's in the deal to feel that it is possible that I'm going to at least get what it might be worth someday in the future. You know, so your question is extremely difficult without knowing the specifics of the investment that you're in. What do they hold? What's happening with the rents, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel for you, Rich. That's one of the most difficult things we do.
If I may add, Mr. Tignanelli, when I got this years ago, the investment also did dividends or whatever you call them, and they would purchase new shares.
Yeah, dividend reinvestment. Yeah, it's very common in those private REITs.
I'm sorry, pardon me?
Very common in those private REITs that when they get their rental income and they divvy it out to you, your share of that, that they would just reinvest it in new shares. Yeah, that's very common.
And I like that because, of course, I don't know what I'm doing, but I said, well, that's good. Okay, I'll let it sit there. And then they stopped the repurchasing providing a dividend about 2 years ago, and it just
Something about the real estate that you owned that caused that the pandemic caused them to lose rent?
I think it might be that and or the energy. So I'm just discussing and trying to give you more information. But
yeah,
you've answered the question, and you're the smart person.
Yeah. I gotta go. Did you have one quick statement you wanted to make?
Yes. If I was president before they knocked me off, I'd want to reduce the Social Security interest or taxation from seven to the employee and seven to whatever it is to the employer. Let's make it 3 and 3, but take off the limitation so to give some money back to the low class worker, and don't have any limit on sort of million. If I make $1 million, I still pay.
You know,
back.
You're preaching to the choir with me on that. I've said many times that there's nothing more destructive to the small employee than the Social Security taxation. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. We got to run though. We got to go to Michael and see if we can get him in, Maddie, before 6:29. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much
good.
For your time.
Thank you, Rich. Take care.
Hi, Michael. Welcome.
Yeah. My question is, if a parent creates a joint tenancy with her children on the deed, say there's a parent and three children.
Okay.
If she passes away, does the stepped-up value go like a quarter of the difference between her book value and the stepped-up value, or does it go all the way up?
So
on the children's books, is it the full value of the...
So if it is a true joint deed with the three children,
right.
The children will only get a 25% step-up on the mother's share of the deed. And now that's a real technical thing without seeing the deed, but
right. Well, it's a joint tenancy with rights of survivorship, basically.
Joint tenancy with rights of survivorship with the four of them on there, you only get a 25% step up.
I listen to your program.
I normally do not recommend parents to put children on joint tenancy.
Yeah, I know. I try to get my mom to see an estate.
Your mom should just move her name back to the main name.
Well, she passed away. She passed away. It's too late now.
Well, then it's too late. Yeah, you're not going
to
get the full step up.
I tried to get her to see an estate attorney, you know, and plan it, but she went and did it on her own, man. You know, she ended up with dementia, so I think maybe dementia had play in it, you know, her doing things on her own like that, you know, early dementia, early stages, you know.
Michael, great question, and I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, I listen to you off and on, and I thought I knew the answer from listening to previous shows. You have an excellent program. I really like it.
All right. I thank you, Michael. I got to run. Take care. And Washington, we're going to be with you right next when we come back from this break, but I have to take a hard break at 6:29, and I want to show Chris what a professional I am.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And apologize, we had to run so quickly and get to that break there, but that was necessary at 6:29. We're on an open show. Hopefully Washington is still out there to ask his question. We have plenty of lines open. We'd love to talk to you and answer your question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 is the way you call in and ask your question. And lead the conversation in a direction that is important to you, like it was to Michael, like it was to Rich, and like it will be to Washington. 410-922-6680. And Maddie, let's not hold Washington on any longer.
All right. Hi, Washington.
Hello, Maddie. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Washington. How are you, my friend?
Okay. I have a question here. You remember? I remember a couple of years ago that had a data breach, and they recently had a settlement where they're going to offer, I've got a couple of years of free credit monitoring through Experian.
Right.
Would you trust Experian with additional personal information that they would ask for monitoring?
Well, I don't, you know, to me, monitoring isn't that important to me, you know, because I prefer to provide my own monitoring and my own defensive protection than worry about what Experian or LifeLock or anybody like that's going to do for me, okay? If you do it, I don't think it's a bad thing to do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do. But Maddie and I actually had this teed up as a topic to talk about. The very first thing that everyone needs to do for protection in the cyber world that we live in is to freeze your credit bureaus. Freeze your credit bureaus. And the way to do that is just simply do a Google search of Maryland Attorney General credit freeze. Okay, let me say that again. Just Google search this, MD Attorney General credit freeze. Simple. Maryland Attorney General credit freeze. Okay, Google search that and boom, up will come a page. And if you scroll down at the bottom of that page, it'll give you three websites. And on those three websites, you can click on any one of the three and it'll say, freeze your credit report with Equifax, freeze your credit report with Experian, freeze your credit report with TransUnion. Now, I've had my credit report frozen since 2006. Nobody can get my credit score or any information about me from the credit bureaus unless I thaw my credit bureau reports. Why is that important? Because a lot of the cyber things that they do with the information they've stolen from you is try to set up your identity in different places. Like they try to set it up at banks. They try to set it up at with credit cards. They try to set it up with financial institutions of some sort. But if you have a credit freeze, they're not going to be able to do it. And once you have a credit freeze, they're going to come back and say, sorry, sir, you know, I can't get through to get the information I need to set this account up or to approve this loan that you want to take out or whatever the case may be. Everyone should be doing this. Everyone. There isn't a soul out there. Even young children should be doing a credit freeze. Okay? And parents can do a credit freeze for young children, too. And it's important that you do this because any of these people out there who have stolen all this information, think about it, Washington, if they've stolen all that information from Equifax, from OPM, from your doctor's office, from the IRS even, you know, and the list goes on. And they know your name, they know your address, they know your date of birth, they know your Social Security number, they know your mother's maiden name, they know where you work, they know everything about you. I mean, I had somebody apply for unemployment in my name in the state of Maryland. And you know what? I've heard that the state of Maryland paid out $500,000. And maybe I've got this wrong. Peter Francho, you can have somebody come on the show and tell me if I'm wrong. But I've heard that they've paid out money. Maybe it may only been a few hundred dollars each, but they've paid out money to over 500,000 fraudulent claims. The total take is supposedly in the $2 billion range. And I don't know if that's nationwide or just the state of Maryland. You say, well, Drew, if you credit froze, well, how did they get unemployment compensated? Well, it's because it didn't have anything to do with me and my credit bureau files. It had to do with the state of Maryland and just thrushing money at the people who said they were unemployed without any verification as to whether they were legitimate or not. And it was just, and it's not just Maryland, it's all 50 states did the same bogus thing. You know, but the point is that the real issue is that everyone should have a credit freeze. And it's a very simple thing. Go online, do that. And then the second thing you do is every one of your financial accounts you set up. If I set up an insurance company's online access or my brokerage firm online access or my bank account online access, I want dual factor authentication. I want them to bing my credit, my cell phone and see if it's really me that's doing it. That's called dual factor authentication. And then I want to check off the box for security every notification I can. Say, if somebody changes my name or my password or my address or my username or my email address or whatever the case may be, you immediately either text me or email me with that information immediately. And I want to verify that that was truly me or somebody that I gave authority to go ahead and change that, etc. So, you know, with what I do with the credit freeze, dual factor authentication and notifications, I'm doing everything that the credit monitorings do. And therefore, I just don't care, Washington, if I need. That was a very long answer to a very good question.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, assuming that you've done the credit freeze and you've tried to lock down the accounts as much as possible. I was trying to figure out whether there was a downside in order to give more information to these companies to have a central database versus having...
You know, they probably have everything that they're asking you for. They probably already have it, but, you know, I prefer not to give them any more information. They prove themselves unworthy of our trust. You know, they're strictly taking our information to make money for themselves, and they really don't give a damn about us. So I prefer not to give them anything more than I have to, but they can probably already get it anyway. But that's my attitude, and that's what I do. Credit freeze, dual-factor authentication, notifications, and, I may not be 100% golden, but I'm in the high 90s.
Makes sense, Drew, and I appreciate your opinion and your answers. Thank you very much, Drew, and thank you, Maddie.
All right,
thank you.
Take
have
care.
Have a good night.
All right, let's go to Paul, okay?
Hi, Paul.
Hi, that was excellent information you just gave out. Thank you for that.
All right, Paul. What can we do?
So I don't know if you said this already because I just got on with that call, but I was wondering what your forecast is for stocks and bonds for the rest of this year. It really looks bad so far, so I was just curious what your thoughts are.
You know, anytime the Federal Reserve starts raising rates, Paul, you always have to tremble to some degree because markets don't like, recessions, and that's what the Federal Reserve attempts to do is, you know, and I say this many times, don't make your investment decisions based on what presidents of the United States say or do or act, et cetera, et cetera. You know, conservative people were terrified because Barack Obama and Joe Biden became president. And liberal people were terrified because George Bush and Donald Trump became president. And I always said to all of them, don't worry about it. Politicians are nothing but noise. Noise, that's all they are. And unless they had the power to do something really, really stupid, and that's a big issue to do something really, really stupid, like Evita Peron and I can't even remember Juan and Evita Peron did in Argentina, or the guy in Venezuela did. You know, that's just not easy to happen in the United States. Very, very, very difficult in the United States of America to accomplish anything like that. So just consider politicians noise. But the Federal Reserve, they're a different story. They're very powerful, and they definitely impact the stock market. And when they try to cause a recession, they're normally very successful. Why do they cause a recession? Because they want demand to come down to meet the supply that we have in the marketplace. So supply has been constrained because of the pandemic. And the world trade, the trade between nations has been affected because of the pandemic. So you've had a supply constraint and you've had a demand increase. So what happened? So all the products that we needed to make goods and so forth throughout the world, whether it's appliances or toilet paper or automobiles or whatever, has been affected by the supply chain because of the pandemic. So we don't have the supply that we used to have, but yet government threw money out the door to everybody and anybody and said, here, buy things, buy things, buy things. So the demand stayed high and the supply got constrained, okay? That's a recipe for inflation, and that's what we got right now. So here we come to where we are today. So the Federal Reserve all of a sudden starts getting these high inflation numbers, and the Fed is now sitting back saying, we've got to control inflation. And the only way we're going to control inflation is to be able to pull demand back to meet the supply that we have. Well, that's a problem, okay, because the supply is not because demand has outstripped supply. It's because supply has fallen despite the fact that demand has stayed high, all right? And that's a problem if the Federal Reserve tries to do something to that. And I'm not sure how Powell's thinking about this, but you know, you got to tremble a little when you think about the Federal Reserve or what they're thinking about, and you're saying, are these guys smart enough to realize that this is not a demand over demand issue? This is an undersupply issue, and you're raising or lowering interest rates is not going to pull it back enough to minimize the demand impact on the supply. Okay, so
yes.
Now you're saying, okay, Drew, I'm hearing you, but I don't understand what you're saying to me compared to the answer to the question. And if you got time, Paul, would you hold on with me and I can answer the rest of this as to what the answer is to the question? Because I do have to take my traffic break, and Chris Klaproth will give me a hard time if I don't. But if anybody else wants to get online, 410-922-6680, and I'm going to give Paul the punchline to this situation when we're finished with traffic and whatever else Chris has to play. Take it away, Chris.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Ah, there we go. Some good Grateful Dead music, you know? So, anyway, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Chris is always amazed at my musical acumen, but that's okay. You know, I could teach him something about this. Anyway, we're on an open show. We've got Pete on the line, and I still have to answer Paul's question, but we could probably take at least one or two more. 410-922-6680. Let's go back to Paul. Let's get that punchline out there, Maddie.
All right. Okay. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
All right, Paul. So we're built up this big story, okay? So the Federal Reserve's got this problem, and if they try to constrain demand to meet supply, they got a problem because supply is the thing that pulled back. It's not demand pulled ahead. And if they try to bring it back all the way to supply, they're probably going to cause a real, real mess in the economy. But I don't expect them to do that. I think what will happen is, this is my own prediction, okay? I think that within a month or two, we're all going to start realizing that the pandemic is truly not over. We're not finished with COVID, but the serious impacts of COVID are going to be less significant in our lives, and we're going to start relaxing. Even Joe Biden might come out of the basement and take his mask off. I believe that. I truly believe that. Joe might come out of the basement and take his mask off. And he might even say, you know what, that vaccine mandate, it's really not necessary anymore. I believe wholeheartedly that's going to start materializing. And as it does, you're going to see supply rapidly come back to life over the next 12 months, okay? I don't think it'll happen overnight, but I think it'll come back rapidly in the period of time. And I think Powell and his people are smart enough to realize they need to take this slowly, and that they don't need to be overly aggressive, because they're not going to be able to get demand back to supply, because it's not that demand outstrips supply, it's supply collapsed. And that was the problem that we have. And if you try to bring demand back to a collapsing supply, you're going to have a mess on your hand. And I don't think they're that dumb, though they could be. But here's the ultimate point I'm trying to make here, Paul. Don't try to figure out what the Federal Reserve or what the market's going to do as to whether it's going to go up or go down. But always keep invested. Always have a sound investment strategy, because you're never going to predict when the market's going to go up and when the market's going to go down. Because keep in mind, if you make a prediction, you got to make two perfect predictions. You got to predict when the market's going to peak, and you got to predict when the market's going to bottom, and you got to buy toward the top and well before the, you know, and well before or after the bottom. Okay. And if you can do that, no other person in history, as far as I've ever seen, has been able to do that. Your best approach is to always keep a little powder dry so that you can buy if things really get ugly. But always stay invested with a sound strategy that you know you can grab onto whatever money you need for your needs for the next 1 to 3 years. And then you have other monies that you can get and reinvest if markets really go down a lot more. And that's the best strategy you can ever use, as opposed to trying to figure out, is the market going to go up or is the market going to go down? Because if you do, you have to figure out when it's going to go down and also when it's going to start to go up again. And that's virtually impossible. At least nobody I've ever studied has ever been able to do that. All right?
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, thanks.
And Paul says, whoa, that was more than I could ever bargain for. I don't know what he told me, but that was at least thoughtful. Anyway, let's go to Pete. Let's see what Pete has to say.
Here's what Pete's got to say. In the first place, you want to have a good education from somebody that can teach you something. And I was fortunate enough, after being a damn fool until I was about 21, I went to work for a very astute Jewish gentleman. And I worked for him for the last 3 years of his life and learned a lot. And how to behave and how to do things.
Cool.
And anyway, that's what the fact that I've been successful all my life in business, I attribute to that education that I got from this gentleman after I got thrown out of college after one term. And anyway, my idea is this. I'm going to have my 89th birthday next week. I'm still working and still making a lot of money. And I believe there are three things that are essential to life. That you if you stay in these businesses, you can't lose money. The water business, the food production business, and the alcohol business. Because we have to have water to drink, water to raise crops. We have to have, that's the most important thing. We can't live without water. Food production, everybody's got to have food to eat, so there's always going to be a demand for food, right?
Right.
And the third thing is this: no matter whether we had good time or bad times, people always want to be able to have a drink. So there
are
three things. Everything else we can get along without. But
that's true.
Three things we got to have.
There you go.
Huh?
I have no problem with that.
So that is my strategy, the biggest problem that we're in right now is this. Unfortunately, our forefathers, when they formed this government, did not put term limits on the people in the Congress. So,
true.
people once they get in there, it's difficult to get rid of them, and we wind up with all these problems with a lot of people who really don't know what the hell they're doing.
And well, let me give you my concept of what's going on. Okay.
Okay.
The Republican Party and the Democratic Party used to be an oligopoly, okay?
Yep.
So, in other words, they agreed together they would run the country together as an oligopoly. That
yes.
was the Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, okay?
Yep, exactly. They did it exactly right.
And they did. That's the way the country was designed
right.
to be run,
that's
okay,
right.
as an oligopoly, 100% okay?
100% right.
But today, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are fighting for a monopoly. And when elephants fight, Pete, the grass is the only thing that gets destroyed.
Yes,
and
sir.
We, you and me, are the grass.
Yes, sir.
And we are getting destroyed by the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. We got to run, Pete, but I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Maddie, always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you again for having me.
All right. Well, we appreciate you. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Have a good night.